Is the recession over? President Obama says so. Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we welcome back FreedomWorks senior economic contributor, Steve Moore, to discuss this issue. Steve, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. Okay, so President Obama said the recession is over. He said that recently, and yet the fourth quarter GDP report just came out last week. Your comments?
Well, I think that victory dance in the end zone was very premature. I mean, the economy is really, I think, hurting right now. If you look at what's happened with the stock market in the last 6 weeks, which is sometimes a pretty good lead indicator of where the economy is going, the fact that business investment is way down, businesses are kind of in a hunkering down position, and I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a quarter or two of negative growth in the year 2016, and maybe, I hope I'm wrong, but possibly a recession. So these are very dangerous times when it comes to the economy, and for the president to be talking about how good things are, you know, maybe what he has to do is start listening to the Democratic debates between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. I mean, all they do is trash the economy and talk about how it's not working for the middle class, and, you know, they're right.
That's a fascinating, fascinating point. Listen, I want to take us all back to 2008 when then candidate Senator Barack Obama from Illinois was running, and listen to what he said in his own words.
Change will not come if we wait for some other person or if we wait for some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the change that we seek. We are the hope of those boys who have so little, who've been told that they cannot have what they dream.
Steve, what are your comments about what Obama said in 2008 as a candidate?
You know, this is a president, I think, who came in with real convictions about how to change things and how to improve an economy that was flat on its back when he came into office. And I think he's always been, you know, ideologically very liberal, and he followed that playbook. And I think he honestly believed that this agenda would work. I think he really believed what he was saying. Unfortunately, it didn't work. It's never worked anywhere. Socialism and government intervention is very rarely the solution to our problems. I think, and by the way, this isn't just Barack Obama. A lot of mistakes were made in the last year or two of the Bush administration that got us into this horrendous crisis. But all we've done since then is borrow money, tax, increase spending, increase the national debt, increase regulations on business. And that has been an agenda that was supposed to help the middle class. But if you look at the latest statistics on the middle class, what you find is that the average family during this so-called recovery has lost over $1,000 of income. So for most Americans, this hasn't been any recovery at all.
Hmm. Okay, well, what went wrong? I mean, in other words, if you were advising Obama, what would you say, this is what you need to do, sir?
What I would say is, look, everything you've done in your first 6 or 7 years in office and your last year in office, do exactly the opposite. And I'm not just being facetious. I mean, I can't think of much that we've done right with the economy. I mean, you know, just as we speak, the president's talking about a $10 a barrel increase in the oil tax. Well, that would be the equivalent, you know, right now we pay $30 for a barrel of oil, so a $10 tax would increase the amount of tax you pay at the gas pump by, you know, anywhere 25, 30, 40 cents a gallon. So that could mean, you know, an extra $10 every time you fill up your tank. I mean, that's crazy. You know, that's just not going to help any families, and it's all going to be passed on to consumers. So that's an example of just a really bad policy that this president keeps pursuing. And we've seen just a litany of this. I'm really disappointed in, by the way, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. I mean, just listen to what they're saying. It's almost a contest to see who can raise taxes the most. Yeah. That is not a formula for success. We need more free enterprise, more free markets. We need to fix our tax system. You know, I'd like to see us with the lowest tax rates in the world, not the highest tax rates. And we got to roll back some of the regulations on Obamacare that has reduced employment. And then, of course, we need to start talking about, you know, getting rid of a lot of these regulations that are strangling our businesses.
Now, Ronald Reagan faced some pretty tough economic times when he became president. What do you see as the main difference between their approaches and then the results? Obviously, in Obama's case, you're saying it's doing terrible. But how about Reagan? A comment on Reagan.
Boy, I wish we had a Reagan-style expansion. I mean, I was just looking at these numbers the other day, that if we had had a Reagan-style recovery rather than the Obama recovery, we'd have about $3 trillion more GDP right now. That's a big number. I mean, every family, if we just prorated every family, would have about $15,000 more income.
Wow.
Look, Reagan, I worked for Reagan. I'm a little biased. I love the Kipper, and I think, you know, he did rebuild the American economy, and he did rebuild our military and made us number one again. But Reagan's philosophy was very simple. Government is not the solution. Government is the problem. If we can get government out of the way, we can make this economy strong again. That worked pretty darn well. Obama's philosophy, I think, if I were to define it in a sentence, is, you know, whatever the problem is, there's a government solution to deal with it.
Yeah. So higher taxes rather than solving the problem actually exacerbates the problem.
No, sure. I mean, you know, that's been one of the problems. And think about what we've done in the last 5 or 6 years. First, we have the $800 billion, you know, quote, stimulus plan, which was all just government borrowing. Then we have the bailouts of insurance companies and banks and auto companies and so on, which I think was a mistake, and Republicans deserve a lot of the blame for that. Mm-hmm. And then you have the minimum wage increases, and then you have the cash for clunkers program, then you had Obamacare, then you had tax increases on the rich, then you had all these new EPA regulations. I mean, none of this has really helped growth. And what concerns me the most is, as I look at the economy now, I'm thinking, this is an economy that's really struggling. It barely grew at all in the fourth quarter. It doesn't look like it's growing at all in the first quarter this year so far. Where's the growth going to come from? What is going to inspire businesses to go out and invest and hire more workers? Right now, they're just struggling to earn a profit. And, you know, according to the recent Wall Street Journal, during January, profits for companies shrank. Now, you know, a lot of liberals think profits are evil, but if companies aren't making profits, guess what? They're not hiring workers.
Yeah.
And I think that's the vicious cycle we're in right now.
You know, along these lines, how about a comment about the fact that just in recent times, Walmart has announced the closure of scores of their stores?
Yeah, that's a really, really dismal sign. I mean, we all remember when Walmart was growing like weeds and you know, building new stores everywhere. To see them shutting down some of those stores is very worrisome. And, you know, that's going to mean a lot of jobs that are lost with them. Now, of course, those are, you know, for people who are working, you know, first-time job, those aren't really highest paying jobs. But if you're an assistant manager or a manager in a Walmart store, you make $50,000, $60,000, $80,000 a year. We can't afford to lose those jobs. And it's another sign that this economy isn't performing. I'm an optimist. I think, look, if we could get, you know, some of these policies that I'm talking about in place, like a real tax reform and some of these regulations rolled back, I think the American economy could really boom. I really think we are ready for a boom, but unfortunately, that's not going to happen until this president is out of office.
Hmm. When you say real tax reform, what are you alluding to?
I'd like to see a flat tax. I'm a flat tax guy. I'd love to see us get our tax rate down to 18% or so. Everybody pays their fair share. You know, you don't have any special carve-outs, or it doesn't matter who your Washington lobbyist is. You know, the rich people have all these lobbyists who, you know, find ways for them to avoid paying taxes.
Yeah.
I want everybody to pay their fair share, but at a very low rate with no deductions. Make it as simple as possible. If it's simple and fair, and you don't need a massive IRS structure that's you know, snooping in every financial decision that we make. I believe if we could have some kind of flat tax, remember Steve Forbes talked about this 20 years ago, I think we could see this economy grow like it was on rocket fuel.
Wouldn't that hurt the poor? The poorest of the poor, when they go to buy bread, they'll be paying a higher rate per capita than, you know, you or I or whomever.
You know, I think if you make 10 times more money than I do, you should pay 10 times more tax, not, you know, 100 times more tax. And I think a flat rate where everybody pays the same rate, we're all Americans, we all pay. Now, you could protect the poor by, you know, saying, you know, that your income up to the poverty level or even double the poverty level is not going to be taxed. So people, when they buy their groceries or they have to pay for their medical expenses, they have that, you know, protected. But, you know, the most important thing we have to do for the poor is to get jobs back in America,
right?
And that's by far the most important priority. And, you know, we've got a tax system right now that's destroying the jobs in this country. By the way, our tax system is very good for the people in China and Mexico and in Canada and the countries we're competing with, but it's not too good for American workers.
That's an excellent point. How about a comment about minimum wage? This, I think, is really misunderstood by liberals, totally.
I don't know if it's misunderstood or they just don't care to understand the truth. But my belief is on the minimum wage, as a father of two teenagers, that, you know, that minimum wage is basically a starter wage. It's not for everyone, but for most of the workers we're talking about who are on the minimum wage, they're working in the food industry, they're working at restaurants, they're working in retail. You know, they're making $8 an hour or whatever, maybe $7.50 an hour. And I think the idea of making that minimum wage $15 an hour, it'll help some low-income workers, but a lot of workers are going to lose their jobs at the bottom of the scale. And I think that would be really, really unfortunate. I mean, we don't want to have a system where young people can't find jobs. I mean, I remember my first job, I was working for $2.10 an hour in a warehouse in suburban Chicago. But,
wow.
You know, that was one of the most important jobs I ever had.
Yeah, well, that was higher than my wage. You know, the Baskin-Robbins, 31 flavors in Wilmette. I worked there and earned $1.25.
Well, you're a little older than me, but, you know,
Not much, though.
That job, and I think, you know, gosh, you know, I really learned a lot. You know, I think a lot of people remember their first job, and they remember, you know, probably what they made. And, you know, for most of us, it was minimum wage. And, you know, I look back, and, you know, you learn how to show up for work on time and how to, you know, maybe run a cash register or run a machine or, you know, how to be nice to your boss and treat customers and how a business works. And all those things are really essential skills for when you get older in life and maybe at some point you want to run a business. So I think we do a real disservice by telling young people not to work and by pricing them out of the workforce. So at least if we raise the minimum wage, I think we ought to have, don't you, maybe a teenage minimum wage of maybe $5 or $6 an hour so young people can, you know, get some spending, you know, spending money, but also learn some really valuable skills.
Sure. All right. Crippling regulations. That's another thing you're saying that is really hurting the Obama economy. Your comments.
Well, I'll give you a good example. You know, we were in the midst of a big, you know, oil and gas boom. You know, we've almost doubled our oil production over the last 10 years. It's amazing tribute to that industry, how productive they've become. But now they're being crippled by these EPA regulations that are related to global warming. You know, so we're not talking about real pollution. We're talking about things like carbon emissions, which, you know, carbon is not a pollution. You don't get sick from carbon. Mm-hmm. And that's really been going after our coal industry. I mean, our coal industry is flat on its back right now because we have a president who cares more about, you know, the rise of the oceans than he does about, you know, coal miners all over this country. We have hundreds of thousands of coal miners who've been doing it in many towns for generations. They've been doing this work, and those mines are being shut down. And by the way, that's just going to do nothing to reduce climate change because the rest of the world is building 5 or 10 coal plants for every one we shut down. So it's not going to affect the climate, but it is going to put a lot of Americans out of work. Let's get rid of some of those regulations. And, you know, a good example, too, is what it's done to our banking industry. I mean, the banking industry is getting consolidated because the regulations are so time-consuming and so costly that only the big banks can survive.
Hmm. You know, along those lines, we've been hearing a lot of the back and forth between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, and here she gets paid big fees or whatever to speak, and he's pouncing on that, and they're demonizing the big banks, especially Bernie Sanders is. How about your comment on that?
Well, look, I mean, the big banks are getting bigger because of these regulations. You know, I find it humorous that people voted for these regulations, like the Dodd-Frank financial regulation bill, are now complaining, wait a minute, why are all the banks getting bigger? Because the only companies can afford these regulations are the big ones. And community banks around this country and small towns across America are getting eaten up. It's like the whales are, eating up the minnows. And you know, we need community banks in this country. They're the people who make the small business loans. They're the people who make the mortgages to the, the people who live in the town. And, you know, those kinds of mortgages are, and those kinds of loans are necessary to make America a prosperous place. I am worried about what's happening in these banks. And I really wish we would go back to some of the old rules where the banks could, you know, make the kind of loans they need to make our communities work.
Mm. Well, I've enjoyed our time with you, Steve Moore, who's a FreedomWorks Senior Economic Contributor. Where can people read your stuff? I know you write a lot for the Wall Street Journal, and you've been a commentator on Fox News and so forth. Do you have a website you want to refer us to?
Well, I would say the best place to go to is FreedomWorks.com. org and see the amazing stuff that we have, not just for me, but a lot of our best thinkers and writers, on how the free enterprise system can save us. And that's really, I think, the bottom line of this interview is that if we're going to be saved, it's going to be saved not by government and socialism or Bernie Sanders. It's going to be saved by the free enterprise system, which is what has made America the greatest country in the world.
That's right. Steve Moore of FreedomWorks.org. Thanks so much, Steve, for your time.
Thank you. Anytime.
Right. God bless. Bye-bye.